Good. Well, good morning. Membership in organizations and associations is on a downward trend in the United States. The hierarchy and lifelong careers and the loyalty that marked the industrial era has passed, and people do not become members of anything very easily anymore. In fact, 62% of associations report either flat or declining membership. And commitment to religious organizations is really no different. U.S. adults who report being members of a church or a synagogue has gone down from 70% in 1992 to 59% of adults in 2014. This is an 11% decrease over the course of 22 years. Now, it's important to acknowledge that religious attendance is also down over that same amount of time, but it has not dropped as much as membership has. And today, we're going to talk about church membership. One of the reasons membership in organizations is going down in America is in part due to the fact that millennials and Gen Y, they do not respond well to the appeal of the institution telling them to do something. And so, I don't want to just stand here and tell you to do something this morning. I don't want to just say membership matters, although it does. My hope is that throughout the course of our time together this morning, that together we will see why membership matters. My hope is that together we'll see a vision for church membership that compels us to want to become members, not just because I tell you it matters. Now, you might ask, is church membership a biblical idea? Is it in the Bible? And in some ways, you might answer no to that question. You cannot open your Bible and find a particular Bible passage that says, become a church member. Nor will you find a story about someone like Apollos traveling to a new city, and when he gets there, checks out two or three or four different churches and then decides which one to become a member of. You won't find passages like that. But there is a clear assumption of church membership within the Scriptures, which is the foundation upon which much of the instruction to the churches is laid. There are a number of passages that suggest churches know who is in and who is out, who's a part of their church and who is not. Even that lists were kept of some of those members. There was a way of knowing who was a part of the church and who was not. So no, you will not find an explicit passage which says, become a member. And as we begin, it's important even to recognize that our formal process of membership isn't necessarily itself commanded in Scripture. But the principles which undergird our formal process of membership, we will find all over the Scriptures. And so, we will dive into a passage this morning which is laid upon the foundation of church membership. Now, before we move into that passage, I just want to acknowledge we're in the midst of a series. We're in the third of four sermons in a series called The Church and Its Shepherds. And throughout the series, we've been talking about what God intends for His church and how He intends His church to be organized. Now, even before we search the Scriptures for how he intends the church to be organized, we ask the question, does He? Does He have a particular instruction for how He intends His church to be organized? And we say, yes, He does. All throughout the Scriptures, He gives instruction about how He intends for His church to be organized. And there's far more that could be said that we see in the Scriptures than can be said in just a four-week series. But we want to focus on four particular aspects of a church that gives us instruction. How do we organize ourselves? How do we live together and function together? And so we started by talking about elders and their role in the church. And then we looked at deacons and their role. And this morning, we're talking about church membership and why it's important for a healthy church. And then next week, we'll talk about congregationalism, which is really about this general concept that the local church body as a whole is a necessary and final human authority for its members. But today, our text is Matthew 18. And so if you have a Bible, go ahead and open to Matthew chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible with you, there are some in the back of the pew in front of you. The words will appear on the screen behind me, so you can look there. But Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20 is where I'll be reading from. I'll give you a moment to get there. Matthew 18, 15 through 20. It says this, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is God's word. Now, as we begin, it's worth noting that this text is primarily about church discipline. The primary topic of this text is church discipline, which I would say assumes church membership. You don't get church discipline without church membership. Okay, and so from the passage, we can derive certain principles of church membership. And it's as though if you think about church discipline as like a home built upon the foundation walls of church membership, today we're going to try and dig down to those foundation walls and to understand what is church membership. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Why is it even assumed by Jesus when he gives the instruction here in Matthew 18 that this is a process you can walk through to confront someone about their sin? And so we are going to talk about five principles of church membership. Five principles of church membership. Principle one is this: membership means commitment. Membership means commitment. Now, if we're going to confront our brother, as in this passage says, if we're going to confront someone in the church who is sinning against us and they don't respond well, and then the next appeal at some point is to go to the church and to talk with the church about it, well, that assumes that we know who the church is. That assumes there's some way of understanding who is the church. Who is this body, or who are these people that we're going to appeal to? And one of the ways we know that is we've made a commitment to one another. There's many different images used for the church in the New Testament. Images like temple, or flock, or body, or vine. Well, a temple has bricks, and a flock has sheeps. Sheeps, that's not a word. Has sheep. I've been hanging around my six-year-old too much, right? A flock has sheep. A body has parts, and a vine has branches. Okay? The Bible intends for us to be part of a local church, to be counted among the sheep, to be numbered among the bricks, to fulfill our role in the body. Membership is a way of acknowledging our commitment. Now, in some sense of the word, when we become a follower of Jesus, we do become members of his church, his global church, because we do become his sheep, and we are now counted among his flock. We are a member of his body. We are a brick in the temple of the living God. But there must be a way of expressing in the local church what is true of us in the invisible church, the global church. Church membership is a way of acknowledging our commitment to Christ and to the local body. In the New Testament, one of the things that we don't always see or recognize is that, by and large, the overwhelming majority of the time, there's really only one church in each city. And so when someone would move to that city or become a believer, when they began to follow Christ, they became a part of the church where they lived. There wasn't a question about it, right? There's no Lone Ranger Christianity. We aren't called to do this on our own. When we follow Jesus, when we become a part of his body, we join the rest of his body for the sake of fellowship and growth and mission. This was assumed in the scriptures. If you became a Christian, you became a part of the body. Now, there wasn't a highly formal process that we can see in the scriptures, because it was assumed that if you follow Jesus, you were part of the local church in your city. And the church knew who you were, and there was a commitment to one another. And so we must recognize that we live in a more complex society, and there are more than one church in our city, and churches sometimes have different distinctions within them, and so we have to decide, which church am I going to be a part of? And so we have a process by which we know who's a member of our church. And so that the more complex process we have may not be seen in the scriptures, but it's seen in the way that the people who follow Jesus are committed to one another in the scriptures. I recently read the story of a pastor who was at a bus stop, and as he got there, he saw someone reading a Bible, and so he began to engage this man in conversation. And eventually the pastor asked this man what church he was a part of. And the man answered this way. He said, I attend a lot of different churches, but I'm not a member of any of them. I'm into Jesus. That's all that really matters. And what's sad is that this answer is really not all that unique. We have it in our minds in this kind of lone ranger, individualistic mentality of in our society, in our culture, that begins to infiltrate in our minds that we can do it on our own. That it doesn't matter. I'm into Jesus, and so I can just kind of check out different churches whenever I want and never really be a part of any of them. But if we are into Jesus, then we should be into the things that matter to him. And the church matters to Jesus. And not just the church in the abstract or the invisible, but the physical, local expression of the church. Jesus, he loves his church. He died for his church. He purchases the church with his blood, and he calls the church his bride. He says that he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's the head of his church, and he says that the church is his body. The church is his flock. The church is his family. Jesus loves the church. And we cannot say that we're into Jesus if we are not into the things that he loves. We cannot say that we're serious about Jesus if we're not serious about his church and his body. And so, this is part of what membership is. It's acknowledging our commitment to one another. It's making a commitment to others who follow Jesus. Membership means commitment. Principle two, membership means taking responsibility. We take responsibility for one another. In this passage, responsibility for one another is expressed in them holding someone else accountable. Responsibility is also more broad than that. And when we become members of a church, one of the things we're saying is, I am now your responsibility, and you are now my responsibility. We cannot ignore that responsibility. So here in this passage, if we see a fellow church member sinning, or in particular sinning against us even, Jesus outlines a process for confronting that sin. We should hold one another accountable. We should confront them about their sin. And if they refuse to acknowledge that, we bring others along. And if they still don't want to listen, we bring it to the church because we are responsible for one another. And responsibility for one another is conveyed in a number of other passages throughout the scriptures as well. Commonly seen in the one another passages of scripture. We're commanded to love one another, to serve one another, to encourage one another, care for one another. Here, hold one another accountable. Membership means responsibility. It's the expression of the commitment we've made. This is not a come and get consumerism. The primary question of a church member is not, what have you done for me lately? And when we become a church member, we commit to one another, to take responsibility for one another. And when you become a church member here, one of the things you commit to is a covenant. We commit to a covenant. What does it mean to be a member? And we commit to being present at church gatherings, to giving financially to the work of the church, to praying for our fellow church members and the work of the church, to serving one another, because we take responsibility for this body. We commit to sharing the good news together, that we might together fulfill God's mission in our church. And as members, we gain several privileges when we become members. We have the benefit of the rest of this church saying, we are going to be responsible for you. And then we also take on the responsibility of what it means to be a member of the church for others. One of the losses of commitment to this type of responsibility to the church is seen in the gap between membership roles and attendance. One of the things that you'll often see in churches is that the membership roles far exceed the number of those who are attending the church. Recent studies have shown that the typical Southern Baptist church has 233 members, with only about 70 attending on a Sunday morning. Now, some of that is just, you know, poor record keeping. Some of it also is just a lack of recognizing what it means to truly be a member. And it's not unique to the Southern Baptist. This is true among several different traditions of faith. And so, membership, church membership, means responsibility. Principle three, membership means salvation affirmation. In this passage here, we see that in verses 17 and 18, Jesus gives some instruction about what they're supposed to do if this person is unwilling to recognize their sin and repent of it. It says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so, what is the consequence for refusing to acknowledge and repent of sin? Jesus says, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Well, what does this mean? This is a way of Jesus saying, let him be to you as someone who does not acknowledge me as Lord. Let him be to you as someone who doesn't actually follow me, who's not committed to following me. Jesus says, when you love me, you obey my commandments. Part of following Jesus is expressed in following his commandments. And one of the things that the church does is recognize who loves Jesus and follows Jesus and who's expressing that in following his commandments. This isn't about intense legalism. It's about simple obedience. Anyone who truly follows Jesus will follow his commandments. And when confronted about their sin, it might be hard, it might be frustrating, they may not want to repent in the moment, but they will repent of their sin if they love Jesus and follow him. When we become aware of sin, if we follow Jesus, we'll want to repent of it. And so if someone is not obeying Jesus, and when confronted about it, refuses to acknowledge their sin and repent, then the church should conclude that they do not actually love Jesus and remove them from membership. This is what Jesus is saying. And as I said earlier, this passage is about church discipline. But church discipline is built on the foundation walls of church membership. You cannot do what Jesus is telling us to do here if we don't have church membership. You can't remove someone from membership if they don't care about what it means to be a member. If membership doesn't mean anything, then church discipline in this way you can't do it. This sort of passage is built upon those foundation walls of church membership. And so one of the things that it's telling us about church membership is this principle that part of becoming a member is salvation affirmation. One of the things that the church is saying together about someone who becomes a member is, yes, you love Jesus and you follow Jesus. The church cannot make someone into a Christian. We can't just decide that they are. Nor can the church simply decide that someone no longer is, right? We don't have that authority. We are trying to discern what is true about them. The church does not determine what is, but it does have a job in discerning what is. And so part of membership means salvation affirmation. Here, Jesus uses this phrase, to bind on earth that this would be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. This points to the authority of the church. The church does not have the authority to grant or deny salvation, much as people may have thought that the church has throughout history. That's not what the church has the authority to do. But it does have the authority within its body together to make decisions about who's following Jesus, who is in, who has expressed a faith in Jesus and committed to that. Now, the church is not always perfect, right? We're not infallible. We will make mistakes at times. But God has called us, even in this imperfect way, to be this necessary authority to this important role of salvation affirmation. And part of becoming a church member is the church saying to you, yes, you follow Jesus. This is one of the reasons that we require people to give a testimony of faith in Jesus when they become a member. It's one of the reasons that we ask people to stand before others in the membership and say, this is my testimony of faith. This is how I've come to understand what it means to follow Jesus. And this is the way he's continuing to change and transform me even now. This is also why we want people to be baptized before becoming a member, because baptism is a public identification with Christ. It's a way that our Lord has commanded his followers to give a public declaration to their faith and identity in Christ. It's a way of saying, I am a part of this community, and the community acknowledges that baptism and says, yes, we see that you're trusting in Jesus. It might be like this, if you think about it, like if you're in Germany, say you're in Germany, and you're there and you lose your passport. And what do when you lose your passport in a foreign country, right? You find the U.S. Embassy, the consulate, or somewhere where you can get a new passport. And you go there and you say, I need a new passport. And what do they then need to determine? Are you actually a U.S. citizen? Right? They don't get to make you into a citizen, nor do they get to just deny you citizenship. That's not their job. But what they do is they discern, are you actually a U.S. citizen? And if you are, then they give to you a new passport or a temporary passport or whatever they might give to you to acknowledge that, yes, you are a U.S. citizen. The church is kind of like that. We don't make someone into a Christian, nor do we just get to decide someone isn't anymore. But we do have the important work of saying, yes, this person is following Jesus, and their life reflects it. And if they no longer are following Jesus and their life does not reflect it and they're unrepentant, then we also have the necessary job of saying, no, you're not following Jesus. You're not trusting in Jesus. And in this way, membership in a church is more like citizenship in a nation than it is like joining a club. I think one of the reasons that we don't like church membership always, or people aren't necessarily becoming members of churches, is because we think of it more like being a member at like Bally Fitness than we do like being a citizen of God's kingdom. Right? This is not like joining a fitness club or some social club that's going to do some work in a city. That's not what it is. We're saying, I am with Jesus. I identify with him, and I am part of his bride, the church, and I want to be counted among his sheep. And then we say, yes, you are. This is why we will always and only have a membership of those who are following Jesus. We have a believing membership, a membership of those who confess faith in Christ. Now again, we might get it wrong sometimes, but we want to work really hard not to. We want to be confident that if someone's a member of our church, that they love Jesus and follow him. And so membership means salvation affirmation. Okay, principle 4. Membership is meaningful. When we practice meaningful membership, then those who are members in name of our church are also members in fact, truly. They act like members. They behave like members. It means that those whose names are written down on a list somewhere are engaged in the community for which they are members. Membership is meaningful. And this is what Jesus assumes is happening when he gives this instruction in Matthew 18. Because you cannot follow Jesus' instruction here without meaningful membership. It just doesn't work. If the one that we're confronting about their sin has little to no commitment to the church, if they don't really care about what the church has to say, this doesn't work. Or, on the other hand, if the one being confronted is not known by the church, if someone comes and says, my brother's sinning against me, they bring it to the church and it says, we don't know him. We don't know anything about him. It's really hard to confront sin in that case. Meaningful membership is part of what it means to be a member. Meaningful membership means that you are known by the church. It means that there are elders who know you. This is part of the reason this whole series goes together. Part of the reason that when we have elders who are shepherds, who care for the church, who know the church, who want to serve the church, this is necessary if then we're going to have meaningful membership where our members are known and prayed for, where we have leadership who knows them and it can shepherd them through that. It means fellow members know you. It means that that fellow members follow up with you if they haven't seen you for a while or they haven't talked with you. It means they check in with you and they know what's going on in your life. They reach out, they care for you. Meaningful membership means that we know one another's needs and we help to meet them. It means we care for one another and we serve one another and we love one another. We sacrifice for one another. It also means that meaningful membership means that you're held accountable by the church. And when we see someone drifting, we say something. We reach out. It's not always a fun conversation to have. If you notice that someone who's a member here that you have known hasn't shown up for 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever point you realize, oh, where are they? You want to give them a phone call. It's not always a fun conversation to have. It's not always, you know, it can be awkward. But I will tell you this, that phone call is much better than letting them drift. Even if it's awkward or they feel a little frustrated that you called them, maybe they feel condemned or however they're responding to that, that might be challenging. But the far worse alternative is that 6 months, 9 months, 12 months pass, and someone who is a member here thinks to themselves, oh, yeah, I haven't been to church for a while, and no one cared to reach out to me. No one cared to follow up with me. Right? That's a far worse alternative. So have the awkward conversation. Be willing to make the awkward phone call. Part of the meaningful membership is that we hold each other accountable to what it means to be a member. It also means, as in this passage, when someone is sinning, we say something. We confront one another in love because we love the gospel and we love Jesus and we love one another enough to confront one another. We hold one another accountable to our commitment to Christ and to the church. Meaningful membership means that you know why you're a member. Part of the reason that we're teaching on this even right now is because part of the way that you have meaningful membership is we know what membership is and why it matters. It's hard to have meaningful membership if we don't know why someone's confronting us or why someone is reaching out to us or encouraging us in different ways. And so we want to make sure that we understand membership. It's one of the reasons we read this book together this fall, Church Membership. If you didn't get a chance to read it, we have some extra copies. Come and grab one. Meaningful membership only works if we understand why we want to be members together. Meaningful membership also means that if you transition to a new church, it matters to us. Not in a territorial way, but we want to know. It means that if you move too far from our building to be able to commute here on a Sunday or be part of what's happening and you feel like, I want to find a church closer to home, it means that we care about that and we want to help you. If someone is a member here and decides to leave membership, it means that I want to make a phone call and I want to make sure they're part of a good church. I don't want people to just drift off into nowhere. It means that it matters. It even means that maybe I might call the pastor of that church and say, hey, here's a new member's coming your way. Care for them, know them, love them, because they matter to us. Meaningful membership means that it's more also than just about voting. Sometimes people think, okay, well, I need to become a member so I can vote at the congregational meeting. It means far more than just voting, okay? There are some legal reasons that we do that, and there's a number of other fashions and why we do that. It means far more than just voting, okay? Meaningful membership means that you're known, you're cared for, you're held accountable. Membership is meaningful. And now finally, principle five, membership is representational. We represent Christ. Now, the analogy of an embassy is a good one here. We are sort of like an embassy for the kingdom here on earth, an outpost, if you will, a representation of Christ in this world. In verse 20, one of the things Jesus says here is, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Now, there's a lot of layers to that statement, but one of the things it says is that Jesus promises to be among his people, and in particular, when we are faithful in following his commandments. Membership matters because we are called to represent to an unbelieving world what it means to follow Christ. We are called to represent him well. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote that when you become a follower of Jesus, your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. So each of us, you are a living, breathing temple of the Holy Spirit when you follow Christ. You are a living, breathing temple of God, meant to walk on this earth as a representation of him. You were bought with a price, and the cost was Jesus' blood on the cross. You are not your own. Therefore, Paul says, honor God with our bodies. And we do this corporately. We do this together. We represent Christ together because he has purchased us with his own blood. This is why we love one another, because Christ has loved us. This is why we honor one another, because Christ has honored us. This is why we live in harmony with one another, because Christ brought harmony to our souls. We accept one another because in Christ we are accepted. We instruct one another because Christ has instructed us. We comfort one another because Christ has comforted us. We serve one another because Christ has served us. And we forgive one another because God in Christ has forgiven us. And in the way that we live out these one another's together, we represent Christ, who is our head, who has made us his body, who has formed us. This is why we commit to one another as members. This is why we're responsible to one another as members. When we live in relationships like this, people see our love for one another and they know that we are Christ's disciples. People see our love for one another and they give glory to our Father who's in heaven. Membership is representational. Membership matters. And if you're not a member of this church or any church, but you are committed to following Jesus, I'd encourage you, become a member of the church that you attend. Come and chat with me afterward or sometime this week. I'd love to talk with you about it more because membership matters. And again, as we close, our five principles of membership are these. Membership means commitment. Membership means responsibility. Membership means salvation affirmation. Membership is meaningful. And membership is representational. Join me as we pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you have formed this body, that you have made us your own, and that as part of your body, you call us to conduct ourselves in ways that are consistent with you, that you call us to play our part in the body, to do what you call us to do, whether we are an eye or an ear or a foot or an arm or a hand or whatever our place is in your body, you call us to be faithful in that. And so, Lord, would we be faithful to one another? Would we make a commitment to one another? Would we be responsible to one another? Lord, would we take seriously what it means to be a member of your church? Because it matters to you. Your church, your bride, it matters to you. So, Lord, would you give us a vision for that? Would you, by the power of your Spirit, challenge our hearts to want to care for one another well? And would we as a church, would we care for one another well? Lord, if someone becomes a member of this church, Lord, would the rest of the members take that seriously? Would we care for one another? Not just ask others to be responsible for us, but would we be responsible for one another? And Lord, in that way, would we represent you well? Well, this isn't just about checking a box or doing what the pastor says, but joining the body to which you have called us. And Lord, we want to represent you well to the world around us. Would you, by the power of your Spirit, help us to do that? We thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen.